Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil' Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil' Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
There are two ways to be waking up on this Sunday morning. You can either be thrilled that the Gophers have back-to-back shutouts, I think for the first time since in the 60s, I think.
Wow.
Or you can do what I did and say, you know, if Kasich makes that field goal, the Gophers are 3-0 going into a not only winnable, but as Charlie pointed out when we were texting earlier, they absolutely should win that game against Iowa last week. Yeah. A good Sunday morning to you. Gophers are now 2-1 on the season after a win, dominating win yesterday, Pete, over Nevada. Just for the most part, all aspects of the game, I think, dominated by Minnesota. You were there. What'd you think?
Yeah, I agree with you totally. I thought Brosmer looked better. Darius Taylor looked fantastic, I thought, yesterday. He really, he's got speed, but he also has that ability to run over people that, not every running back has that. And he can catch the ball pretty nicely as well. So all of that. You know what encouraged me the very most yesterday about the Gophers? We threw the daggone ball to the tight end. We finally threw a ball to a tight end.
You love that.
I do.
You love it.
Because, they're only always open. So why wouldn't you do that? And I love the fact that the Gophers finally decided to do it. And, he had one catch for 22 yards. That doesn't sound like a huge number, but I don't know why we don't do four or five a game. He should be targeted, whoever that tight end might be. It was Gears yesterday, but whoever it might be, just target him. I mean, you and I went back and forth on this today about this, Dave, but looking forward just a little bit, and we can go back to Nevada. But take a look at Iowa. Let's see. They've only had George Kittle. They got LaPorta. They got Hockenson. They got Fant. They got Eric. All these guys are tight ends because, you know what? Iowa might not have a great offense, but their quarterbacks are smart enough usually to throw to the tight end. Those tight ends look good. And the next thing you know, they're in the NFL. And they got another one this year, Lachey, who's 6'6", 250-pound kid. He's already got 700-plus yards as a tight end catching the ball. I don't know that we've ever had a tight end have 700 yards catching the ball.
Then, Pete, why do you think that is? Because it is – I mean, when you watch the game, and I watched it – well, that's what I was going to say. I tried to watch it through your eyes, so I'm watching the tight end and I'm watching the line of scrimmage, the whole day. Yeah. And it does seem like it's just not there. Like, it's just not an option. And I don't understand why, because clearly, this team's strength is defense, right? I mean, this defense is incredible. And when they can get going and pin their ears back and go, boy, they're awesome. I mean, both on the back end and on the front end. And so really then your offense just becomes a – manage the game, get some points, keep the chains going, tire out their defense, and we'll win the game with our defense. And that you would think then, Pete, that some passes to the tight end just to keep the chains moving would be available.
Mind you, that's not what happened yesterday, though. You look at the rushing, the carries versus passes. Darius Taylor had 11 carries all game. Now, Marcus Major had quite a few as well, but you're seeing the times changing, guys. I think that this offense is becoming more pass-oriented. By the way, yes, there was only one tight end reception. It was up that seam. It was a beautiful throw by Brosmer. Gears made a great catch, but there were quite a few targets, actually, the tight end, including one in the end zone that was caught, but just out of the back of the end zone. There just wasn't anywhere else to throw it. So it's not as though they weren't necessarily trying to get the tight ends involved. It just ended up being that one reception last game.
But I would say this, looking at that team, and I thought Nevada was a better team until I saw them in person. And one of the problems I think that they had was they didn't target that big, huge receiver. And I was pointing it out to your father, actually, yesterday, Charlie.
Six, yeah.
I go, let's see, if I got that guy and they finally target him, he makes a beautiful catch. He made one catch the entire game. And you just wonder, Jaden Smith is the kid's name, and I'm standing there right next to the kid looking at him going, this kid is going to be playing on Sundays, and everybody's going to wonder, where did he come from? Where did this kid play? USC? Did he play at Georgia or Florida or something? No, he's at Nevada. But they don't throw him the ball properly either. So I just look at it this way, guys. When I talk about the tight ends all the time, the reality of tight ends is, as a linebacker, you're told not to cover them, because the quarterback's ego is never going to throw to the tight end. And the reality is they're open most of the time. They're not always going to be open. Of course, the linebackers are going to get in front of them, but the linebacker's job is to drop into a zone and actually sit there and make sure that you help out the safeties and the corners with the outside people. So that's why I am a guy who preaches and have done this for 30 years. Throw the ball to the daggone tight end. and I'll tell you what, at the pro and college level, guys, all you've got to do is say, okay, who are some of the best teams in the NFL? And the first thing that'll come out of your mouth will be, well, let's see, Kittle plays for these guys, and this guy plays for them. And when Hockenson was available, he was one of our best receivers, right, with the Minnesota Vikings. And at some point, he'll be healthy again. Laporta does a great job, I think, at Detroit, came out of Iowa. It is the position that actually still, and it will always be like this, people will look past them, and it's the wrong thing to do.
To your point, Pete, I'll say this. It's got to be the right quarterback,
there
too.
You talk about,
like, Brock Purdy needs that outlet. He's got him. And last year with Hockenson, Kirk Cousins, check down Kirk, certainly needed that option. So to your point, you're right. It takes a quarterback to shed that ego and go, okay, I'm just going to get over to my guy and let him get some yardage.
Yeah, the reality is you need somebody to get him the actual ball. You need somebody to get the ball to either that tight end or that 6'6" wide receiver on Nevada. Nevada certainly didn't have a guy that was going to be able to throw the ball to. I mean, that was a major issue that they had all game. And as far as the Gophers, it's been a while since they've had somebody that could maybe really consistently get to the ball to these tight ends. And that brings me to Max Brosmer, who had, I thought, a really phenomenal day. He's not the greatest quarterback you're ever going to see in your life, but he does what he needs to do. He can make the throws that he's being asked of, which is a lot more than we've seen in the past from the Gophers. And there was a two-minute drive at the end of the half that I haven't seen a Gopher quarterback put together a two-minute drive like that in quite a long time.
Finally.
And you don't need it.
It's great. Oh, the other thing.
Go ahead, Dave.
No. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you don't need any more than that. You know, when you got Darius Taylor going for 127 yards, your defense sacking the quarterback four times on the other side and forcing him to throw three interceptions. Mm-hmm. I mean, you truly, this offense is set up for a game manager.
Yeah.
And someone who can just get it down the field. I'll say this about what I was really quick, and I'm going to let you go, Pete. I think, I was very impressed with Brosmer yesterday from that drive, but the interception that he threw, which was just awful. I mean, underthrown back foot, bad throw, but he came right back. Right, it did not shake him, and so to me, and I'm just more inclined to look at the mental side of the game and I always look at quarterbacks. We've established this. I always like to watch quarterback, but I always like to see how they bounce back. Like, how do they respond from that? And he did very, very well in the second half. Brosmer had a great second half, too. And just to do what he did, considering, you rebound from that, I was impressed.
I actually didn't think Bro's the interception was much of Brosmer's fault, to be honest with you. Christian Driver
never tipped.
No, Christian Driver never looked back at the ball.
Yeah, but it was underthrown. I mean, it was short.
Oh, I didn't know. No, it was
short
over
by
his
a yard
head.
Or two, at least.
It was over his head.
Was it?
Yeah, it was well over
maybe
his
I
head.
Watched it. Okay.
And Christian Driver
it was
just
nowhere
never made
near
a play
him.
On the ball.
I'm going to watch it again. What am I watching?
I'll tell you what I liked about our defense yesterday. Our defense yesterday, Jack Henderson is a football player. There's no doubt about it. That kid is always around the ball. He makes a lot of different plays. As a safety slash linebacker sort of a build that he's got, he's great. Lindenberg and Baranowski played really, really well. I thought Strigow also did a great job. I think from a defensive standpoint, we helped force some of those interceptions, the three interceptions that the quarterback threw. Brendan Lewis, who he'd been a great runner passer. The passing was not there. The Gophers were a next level higher, and we stepped up and we did a really good job. You know, it's funny, guys, because when we look ahead to Iowa, I'm looking at a team that I don't like what they've got at quarterback at all. But I will tell you this, they've got another tight end, as I mentioned. But Caleb Johnson, the running back, that guy's something. Yeah, he's already got almost 500 yards, 6 touchdowns. That's a guy who knows where to go with the football. And by the way, when you're averaging 8 yards a carry, you're doing a lot of things right. So the defense will be challenged, I think. Even though Iowa doesn't have an explosive scoring offense necessarily, I think that they're going to be able to grind the ball. And if we can stop them from grinding the ball on us and have McNamara throw the ball, we have a great chance of beating them by a couple of scores. If we can't do that, if we can't stop the run, we're going to be in a fist fight with Iowa. I know they don't look great. They're not the usual Iowa, yeah. But Iowa's still Iowa, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think you load the box. You let the secondary was phenomenal yesterday as well, even with Whaley out. They really produced. Ethan Robinson, the transfer from Bucknell, had a great game as well as Jack Anderson, of course, like you're saying. But you load the box, you let those cornerbacks go man-to-man, and you just do what you got to do on offense. I don't know. This is not a very good Iowa team. I think just flat out, you're watching them, and you say, what do they do really well? They have a good running back. Their defense is not a normal Iowa defense, that's for sure.
I would also add that their offensive line isn't very good.
No, it's not a normal Iowa offensive line either.
That's the other thing about Caleb Johnson.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand. And the yummy way to start the school year.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The kid's just talented and he's doing it himself for the most part. They're opening up some nice holes, but there's not the quarterback McNamara does not have a lot of time, and he's running. I mean, yesterday against Troy, he's running for his life against Troy. I mean, are you kidding me? Against Troy?
And mind you, Troy is the only team that lost to Nevada this year. Hmm. They're the only team that lost.
Well, there
to
you
Nevada.
Go.
Nevada, you know, Nevada's not a bad team. They've got some talent, but the problem was we took it to them, and I think that is exactly what we needed to do, and because we did that, we controlled the ball. We had three drives in a row where we had three touchdowns in a row, right? I mean, so it's the Gophers played well on offense. The first couple, they I think that we stumbled. We probably should have scored touchdowns, not field goals, on the first two. But we kind of just
– you got to go for it on fourth down. That's why. Right. Sorry. Well, you teed me up for it. It drove me crazy yesterday.
And the play calling was not excellent there.
Fourth and two. Go for it, PJ.
Especially that deep.
Gosh, but the
other thing is this.
In the game.
Let's say you're right, Charlie, and we take it from Iowa. And I don't think that's a stretch at all. But here's the part that I love. Michigan looks terrible. And if we can catch them early enough while they're still terrible, I think we've got a shot against them, even at the big house. I mean, Davis Warren, the quarterback's thrown six interceptions. He's thrown two touchdowns.
He's not good.
Six interceptions. He's not good. Michigan's just not the team that we are used to seeing. New coach, new quarterback, new running back, new receivers, new offensive line. This is not the Michigan that we saw last year, and I think the Gophers have a great shot.
Man, if they can upset Michigan, I cannot imagine the elation that will happen in the Nigerian
PJ's
household.
PJ's going to get a new contract if that
I don't care about PJ. I think the Nigerian household might explode if Minnesota can beat Michigan.
And that's the truth. Where are you at on the Gophers after the win? All right, the Gophers are 2-1 going into Iowa, or oh my goodness, how could we be one field goal away from being 3-0? StylesFinancial.com, talking text line 651-461-9226. One texter says as we go to break here, a third thing of thinking when waking up this morning, how thankful I am that Kirk Cousins is no longer a Minnesota Viking.
That's wrong.
That's a great way. We'll talk a little Vikings football coming up next. Vikings and the 49ers at US Bank Stadium today at noon. The Vikings are 1-0 after beating up on a – honestly, they looked like they might have been a JV team at the New York Giants last week. Their uniforms were hideous. They were so gross. It looked like the Montreal Canadiens were trying to play football in terms of both uniform and skill at playing the game of football. So now they get the 49ers, who, much to my dismay, is without Christian McCaffrey, who's on my fantasy team, two of my fantasy teams, and is out for four games. But the Jones kid that they have, right, Mason, or is it Mason? What's his last name? I'm looking at Jones. Mason's his last name, right?
Yeah, yep. Mason's the last name.
Thank you. I'm looking at Daniel. I'm looking at the stat line from last week. Daniel Jones. This Mason kid had an unbelievable day last week. Granted, it was against the Jets. So, you know, I'll say this about Sam Darnold, and he went for 208, two touchdowns, had a sack, had one interception. I noticed something immediately. I was watching after the game. I was watching some of the videos that the Vikings put up, and you watch Sam Darnold come into the locker room. And guys are giving him high fives, they're patting him on the back, and, you know, they're happy. Sam Darnold had zero emotion on his face. He was not happy, he was not sad, he was not angry. To me, he was a man that looked like, I'm here to do a job, I am going to play my bleep off, and I am going to get another job next year. And I think that might be the best possible scenario for both Sam Darnold and the Vikings. Again, and I don't know if you saw this. It struck me immediately. This is a business transaction for Sam Darnold. This season is a business transaction for him. Not that he doesn't love to be here in purple and have this opportunity, but he is clearly taking this opportunity and saying, this is my chance to resurrect my career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I know last week we were all kind of joking back and forth. You guys were teasing me because I've been pretty hard on him, and I've stayed hard on him for this reason. I mean, I kind of felt like Dennis Green last week when you guys were so excited about what was happening on the field. I was like, you want to crown him? Crown him. I mean, he had a great first half, right? He did. Second half, not as good, but that's okay. But here's a challenge I've got for you guys. We just watched them play against the Giants, right? Can you name me a player other than Daniel Jones who starts for the New York Giants?
And Malik Nabers, that's about it.
No, I can name you. Here's the thing. Their defense is not terrible. They're rusher. Kayvon Thibodeau is a good rusher. They have Dexter Lawrence in the center, who's one heck. I mean, you watch that guy all game. He was dominating the center of the line, the Vikings offensive line. Their defensive line is okay. The rest is not.
The rest is pretty bad.
I'm not going to disagree with you there.
Even if you look at if you go back to last year, which a lot of the teams, obviously most of the teams look very similar without some of them having draft picks and everything. And I'm not trying to be so hard on this whole thing. I just think that we have to keep things in reality a little bit. Now, you guys talked about, you know, playing against the Jets last week for the 49ers. The Jets have one of the top five defenses in just about every category. And meanwhile, Purdy did pretty well. And we all of a sudden see a running back in Jordan Mason that, you know, McCaffrey's out. This kid steps in. All he does is run for 147 yards against a top five defense last year. So I think that their win was a little bit more impressive than ours. Now, here's the thing. He obviously played for the 49ers, he being our quarterback, Darnold. So it's an interesting deal. He knows the inside. He knows this and that. He knows about all the different players that he has to be careful, Bosa, Floyd. By the way, we got a gopher there, Charlie, with Devondre Campbell at linebacker, which I love, and Fred Warner, who's the best linebacker maybe in football. This is a really good defense, so the challenge is going to be a real challenge. Last week, it was like the Gophers playing against Nevada. This week, I think it's more like the Gophers probably playing against USC or something like that, because it is a much different football team. Their offensive line is really good. They can run the ball. They've got all those great receivers, Debo, Ayuk, Jennings, Kittle. I mean, when you look at all that, if we walk out of that stadium with a win or even a really good battle, I would say that would sound really, really great for the Vikings. But we've got to do something like that. If not, we don't really know where we are because of the Giants win and what the Giants look like.
Pete, I didn't take you for a moral victory type of guy. I'll be honest, I didn't think of that from you. I thought you win or you lose.
No, Charlie's got 2 weeks left and he's taking shots at you already.
Well, no.
You know what I would say about that, though? Here's what I would say. Actually, you're kind of right, because when you look at what the 49ers did, could McCaffrey play today? 100% he could. They're not going to have him play today because they want this injury healed. That's why they put him on IR. He practiced this week. They kept saying, what did he look like this week? He's sort of on the questionable and blah, blah. Finally, they put him on IR for 4 weeks or whatever it is. But they just wanted to make sure, okay, we got to win. How does he look? He's not exactly 100%. We're going to pull him back. So even if we lose this game, we just won last week. We lose this game, then we start to refactor in, all right, what do we got over the next couple of weeks? And I think that was the read that the 49ers made, I think, on his injury.
Well, it doesn't hurt either when your running back goes for 147 yards.
Yeah.
Makes it a pretty easy decision, right? I mean, why bother when you have the threats that they have receiving and Brock Purdy, who had a great week last week. But I'd like to point out, Pete, as much as you loved him, he only threw six passes to tight ends. I'm going to put that
Is that
out
all?
There. That's it. Kittle had, excuse me, he had eight targets, six catches.
He needs to throw a little more.
I was so impressed with the Vikings' defensive line and defensive effort in general. I mean, it's how good, by the way, is Andrew Van Ginkle. What this guy does and how he – I was listening or reading something this week that, like, that play where he ripped that ball out, interception for the touchdown, the pick six, he's done that before.
Yeah.
Like that's his special. He knows when it's coming. And him and Grenard, I mean, and then you got the young kid. I mean, it's a really good defensive line. And frankly, if they're going to beat the 49ers, they're going to have to get a ton of pressure on Brock Purdy today.
Yeah, for sure. And it's going to be a test for the secondary as well, because of the fact of what we've got on our side in terms of, you know, where things are, our strengths and some of our weaknesses. I don't think we really got a fair assessment against the Giants. We're going to find out a lot more about the secondary and Gilmore and everybody else. Yeah. Harrison Smith is questionable.
I mean, Gilmore had, yes, it was against the Giants, Daniel Jones, but he had a good game for not having any training camp. Gilmore looked to be a very good piece for that secondary. But yeah, you've got Harrison Smith questionable. You've got a couple of other pieces questionable as well. So this is much more of a test. I think everybody sees that one.
Do you guys know where Van Ginkle went to college?
Well, he started actually at a JUCO, I believe, and then went to Wisconsin.
Yeah, he's Wisconsin. He's a Badger guy.
I remember back in the day, Pete, he was between – he's a rural Iowa kid. He was between Minnesota and Wisconsin coming out of JUCO. And he chose Wisconsin over Minnesota, or he could have been a Gopher.
Yeah. Shoot.
Yeah, well, they got waxed by Alabama yesterday, so take
they
that.
They did.
Woo, boy, did they. All right, take a break, come back. We'll do the fast break. You're listening to The Huddle, 830-WCCO.
All right, guys, we'll get into it. Two quick announcements, though. One, short show today. We're going to be off at 11. You got the Twins game right here at 12:05, first pitch. But before that, we'll have Twins first pitch, the show, as well as Inside Twins, I should say, as well as the
pregame. That's hard because I'm more of a second half guy. So, you know, like that first hour is tough for me to ramp up.
Yeah, I know. You had to be swinging out of the gates here. Secondly, this is the second to last fast break for me, guys.
Oh,
no, I've already told you,
Charlie,
that.
I'm sad.
Yeah, I'm
sad too. Something special next week.
Yeah, next week's going to be my last program here on The Huddle. We got awesome producers who will be coming in after me, but my time here is running short at WCCO Radio.
I would love the opportunity. I will come up with the fast break questions next week, and you can take my spot.
Oh, ooh, that's kind of cool. I like that.
We'll chat. We'll chat offline. Okay. Let's figure something out.
Yeah, nothing like putting you on the spot on the air. Okay, sorry.
No, we'll get right into it here, guys. Pete, we're going to start off with you. Fun day of college football. We talked about a lot of it already. A lot of Gophers, though. So let's get into some of the other matchups that happened. Only one ranked matchup yesterday, I should say. That was Missouri versus Boston College. Really good game, actually. Missouri ended up winning 27-21. You already mentioned Georgia beating Kentucky, but only by 13-12. Came down to the wire there. Wisconsin got absolutely whooped by Alabama. And by the way, their starting quarterback, Tyler Van Dyke, went down with what looked like a serious knee injury. We'll have to see what that looks like going forward for the Wisconsin Badgers. Texas still looking like maybe one of the best teams in the country, dominating UTSA, even with Arch Manning having to step in at quarterback. But my question revolves around a different game. Just a little rundown of games there. My question revolves around a game in Knoxville, Tennessee, where the Tennessee Volunteers put an absolute stomping on Kent State. They were up, get this, Pete, 58-0 with about 20 to 30 seconds left in the half. And I was watching this, and they called a timeout. Tennessee did. They called a timeout with about 30 seconds left in the half, up 58-0. And then they go on and throw a pass for a touchdown to lead 65-0 going into the half. By the way, I didn't even realize this. I saw this a couple of minutes ago. They onside kicked up 30 in the first quarter. Recovered an onside kick. Pete, I'm normally somebody that's going to say, listen, if you don't want to get beat bad, you should just, you know, play harder, play better, all of those things. You're playing the game for a reason. But Pete, at that point, you're up 58-0 and you call a timeout. Is that unsportsmanlike? Should that be, I mean, I don't know how you ban that necessarily, but what is your opinion on that type of play?
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. You scheduled these type of games against competition that gets their opportunity, the David versus Goliath. We all love that because every once in a great while, David comes through, right? And that's actually a pretty cool thing. And that's why I do like the early parts of the season when you see some of those huge upsets that happen. But when you're up that much, I can't figure out. I'd love to ask the coach exactly that question. Like, what were you thinking and why did you do that? And it seems like it's in poor judgment, poor sportsmanship, all of the rest of it. But maybe there's something where he could say, well, you know, we did this because of this reason, and maybe he could make sense of it for us. But I find that to be something that's pretty awful. You know, and I'm a guy who experienced a game like that when we lost 84-13 to Nebraska in 1983. That was awful. And they actually didn't run it up on us, but we couldn't stop them anyway. So that was that was part of the problem on that particular game. And they played everybody. I mean, they practically put in some of the coaches into the game to play in some of the circumstances because it got so, you know, far away. But I don't like it at all, Charlie. I think that's poor sportsmanship.
Now, Pete, did they shorten the quarter lengths at all for that game when you were playing? That happened. No,
they did not.
I'm asking that seriously because
time.
They do that nowadays for some of these blowouts. And in fact, Tennessee offered in the second half to shorten the quarters, and Kent State declined.
Oh.
They said, no, we're playing the whole game.
Yeah,
and
there you go.
Luckily, the second half was not nearly as bad as the first half.
No,
for Kent
they
State.
Only scored 6 points.
Yeah, so still not an ideal day. Dave, what do you think about the situation?
I disagree with both of you. I'm sorry. I just. If you don't want to play the game and you don't want to deal with what's going to happen, then don't play it. Kent State probably got a good amount of money to go down to Knoxville and play Tennessee. And by the way, points and spreads and like quality wins matter. And they come up, they have Oklahoma next week, followed by Arkansas, followed by Florida, followed by Alabama, followed by Kentucky. You better be in your stride when you hit that schedule. You cannot pull back and tell your team to back off. No, you have to play like a winner. And their head coach is Josh Heupel. Okay, like this is not exactly off brand for him. I'm sorry. I understand sportsmanship and I agree, but you know what? If you don't want to lose 71-0, either play better or don't go down there.
But Dave, is there not a difference between I'm not asking the guys to play less hard. I'm asking them to not call a timeout and throw a 20-yard touchdown pass with 5 seconds left in the half when they're up 58 points. I think there's a stark difference between
there's a danger in pulling your foot off the gas anytime in college football, especially when you're dealing with kids.
Yeah.
If you ask them to step back and you show them how to step back, now they know it. And as a coach and in college, any sport, you don't want your players ever thinking about taking your foot off the gas. And I think that's the message that he said to them. And like, we're going all the way. They want to come down here and play us for money. We're going to go all the way. We offered to shorten the quarters and they don't want to do it. We're going to go all the way.
Yeah. Well, that was the second half. This was before the second half when they offered to shorten the quarters. But yes.
I don't care. If you don't want to get your tail handed to you, don't go. Listen, I'm not going to go into a dark alley and try to fight Pete Najeri. And am I? Heck no. That's a losing battle. I don't care how much they're going to pay me.
Well, the players didn't decide what their schedule was going to be. The players didn't decide.
And he still whips me, then okay. No, if you don't like it, do something about it or don't play the game.
All right. Dave, we're going to move on here. Question number two. A week ago, I came on here and I proclaimed very loudly that it is incredibly unlikely that the Minnesota Twins don't make the playoffs. One week on. And it seems pretty likely. Not pretty likely. I'm not going to say that, but it seems certainly a lot more likely than it did a week ago. They were about 5 games up a week ago. They're now
only
two and a half games ahead of the Detroit Tigers, who have the second easiest schedule in baseball.
Yes, their schedule is really easy.
And the Twins have a slightly harder schedule, and they were supposed to take care of business here with the Reds. That hasn't been happening. Now, Byron Buxton and Carlos Correa are back in the lineup. That's going to be a help.
It wasn't last night.
And here's the biggest issue, right? If the starters keep giving up 10 runs, that's not going to help much. You're not going to be able to put up 11 runs per game. So, Dave, in the scenario that the Twins miss the playoffs, that they absolutely blow it down the stretch and they miss the playoffs, what should the blowback be? Or should there be firing? Should it be front office? Should there be coaches, fan protest? What is the scenario if they really do blow this thing?
Well, this was our last segment, but let's go there now because we can expand upon it then. It's bad. And I'm going to tell you right now that after what happened this week when Rocco goes to the media and says how bad his team is and about how, you know, that's unprofessional play and all that stuff, that to me is a really dangerous area to go if you're a manager or coach or whatever it is, because you can't play that card more than once. And if you've seen coaches who've lost their mind, you know, they bang stuff against the wall, throw stuff, whatever, like that, That can only happen a couple of times. And if your team doesn't respond to that, then you're in trouble. And guess what? Rocco goes to the media, calls everyone unprofessional, and did his team respond? No, they got killed by Cincinnati last night, 10-1. And now they're 2.5 games out, and Detroit is gaining on them, and they have an easy schedule, like you said. To me, when Rocco got upset about that, and I'm not saying Rocco's not a bad manager. I'm not saying any of that stuff. This is a tactic. This is a strategy that a manager or coach takes. When you do that and you dog your team in the media and they don't respond, you have just put your head into the guillotine. And that's exactly what he did. And now is it going to come down? Who knows? We don't know yet. But if they miss the playoffs, and in this last month of the season, he pulled a pitcher at 7 innings and ended up losing the game, and he lost his mind on his team, went unprofessional, and they didn't respond. As an owner and as a general manager, you're saying, Rocco may be great, but right now, his tactics aren't working. The locker room's not responding to this, and that's a big issue. So, yes, if they miss the playoffs, I absolutely think Rocco's seat is very hot, and I could see a scenario where he gets let go. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying it's 100%. But if they miss the playoffs after being where they were, that to me says, okay, these guys are not listening to him, and we can't get rid of the whole clubhouse. So yeah. Someone else has to go.
Well, so you're really focusing in then, obviously, on the manager position. Now, another interesting part here is the contracts of Thad LaVine and Derek Falvey are up after this season. They don't have a contract now.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I mean,
you sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
All right, guys, we'll get into it. Two quick announcements, though. One, short show today. We're going to be off at 11. You got the Twins game right here at 12:05, first pitch. But before that, we'll have Twins first pitch, the show, as well as Inside Twins, I should say, as well as the
pregame. That's hard because I'm more of a second half guy. So, you know, like that first yeah. hour. It's tough for me to ramp up.
Yeah, I know. You had to be swinging out of the gates here. Secondly, this is the second to last fast break for me, guys.
Oh,
no, I've already
right.
told you,
Charlie,
that.
Charlie, I'm sad.
Yeah, I'm sad.
I'm going to do something special next week.
Yeah, next week's going to be my last program here on The Huddle. We got awesome producers who will be coming in after me, but my time here is running short at WCCO Radio.
I would love the opportunity. I will come up with the fast break questions next week, and you can take my spot.
Oh, ooh. That's kind of cool. I like that.
We'll chat. We'll chat offline. Okay. Let's figure something out.
Yeah, nothing like putting you on the spot on the air. Okay, sorry.
No, we'll get right into it here, guys. Pete, we're going to start off with you. Fun day of college football. We talked about a lot of it already. A lot of Gophers, though. So let's get into some of the other matchups that happened. Only one ranked matchup yesterday, I should say. That was Missouri versus Boston College. Really good game, actually. Missouri ended up winning 27-21. You already mentioned Georgia beating Kentucky, but only by 13-12. Came down to the wire there. Wisconsin got absolutely whooped by Alabama. And by the way, their starting quarterback, Tyler Van Dyke, went down with what looked like a serious knee injury. Mm. We'll have to see what that looks like going forward for the Wisconsin Badgers. Texas still looking like maybe one of the best teams in the country, dominating UTSA, even with Arch Manning having to step in at quarterback. But my question revolves around a different game. Just a little rundown of games there. My question revolves around a game in Knoxville, Tennessee, where the Tennessee Volunteers put an absolute stomping on Kent State. They were up, get this, Pete, 58-0 with about 20 to 30 seconds left in the half. And I was watching this, and they called a timeout. Tennessee did. They called a timeout with about 30 seconds left in the half, up 58-0. And then they go on and throw a pass for a touchdown to lead 65-0 going into the half. By the way, I didn't even realize this. I saw this a couple of minutes ago. They onside kicked up 30 in the first quarter. recovered an onside kick. Pete, I'm normally somebody that's going to say, listen, if you don't want to get beat bad, you should just, you know, play harder, play better, all of those things. You're playing the game for a reason. But Pete, at that point, you're up 58-0 and you call a timeout. Is that unsportsmanlike? Should that be, I mean, I don't know how you ban that necessarily, but what is your opinion on that type of play?
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. You scheduled these type of games against competition that gets their opportunity, the David versus Goliath. We all love that because every once in a great while, David comes through, right? And that's actually a pretty cool thing. And that's why I do like the early parts of the season when you see some of those huge upsets that happen. But when you're up that much, I can't figure out. I'd love to ask the coach exactly that question. Like, what were you thinking and why did you do that? And it seems like it's in poor judgment, poor sportsmanship, all of the rest of it. But maybe there's something where he could say, well, you know, we did this because of this reason, and maybe he could make sense of it for us. But I find that to be something that's pretty awful. You know, and I'm a guy who experienced a game like that when we lost 84-13 to Nebraska in 1983. That was awful. And they actually didn't run it up on us, but we couldn't stop them anyway. So that was that was part of the problem on that particular game. And they played everybody. I mean, they practically put in some of the coaches into the game to play in some of the circumstances because it got so, you know, far away. But I don't like it at all, Charlie. I think that's poor sportsmanship.
Now, Pete, did they shorten the quarter lengths at all for that game when you were playing? That happened. No,
they did not.
I'm asking that seriously because they do that nowadays for some of these blowouts. And in fact, Tennessee offered in the second half to shorten the quarters, and Kent State declined. They said, no, we're playing the whole game.
Yeah,
and luckily, the second half was not nearly as bad as the first half.
No,
for Kent
they
State.
Only scored 6 points.
Yeah, so still not an ideal day. Dave, what do you think about the situation?
I disagree with both of you. I'm sorry. I just. If you don't want to play the game and you don't want to deal with what's going to happen, then don't play it. Kent State probably got a good amount of money to go down to Knoxville and play Tennessee. And by the way, points and spreads and like quality wins matter. And they come up, they have Oklahoma next week, followed by Arkansas, followed by Florida, followed by Alabama, followed by Kentucky. You better be in your stride when you hit that schedule. You cannot pull back and tell your team to back off. No, you have to play like a winner. And their head coach is Josh Heupel. Okay, like, this is not exactly off-brand for him. I'm sorry. I understand sportsmanship, and I agree, but you know what? If you don't want to lose 71 to nothing, either play better or don't go down there.
But, Dave, is there not a difference between I'm not asking the guys to play less hard. I'm asking them to not call a timeout and throw a 20-yard touchdown pass with 5 seconds left in the half when they're up 58 points. I think there's a stark difference between asking your guys not to.
There's a danger in pulling your foot off the gas any time in college football, especially when you're dealing with kids. Yeah. If you ask them to step back and you show them how to step back, now they know it. And as a coach and in college, any sport, you don't want your players ever thinking about taking your foot off the gas. And I think that's the message that he said to them. And, like, we're going all the way. They want to come down here and play us for money, we're going to go all the way. We offered to shorten the quarters and they don't want to do it, we're going to go all the way.
Yeah. Well, that was the second half. This was before the second half when they either way shortened the quarters. But yes.
I don't care. If you don't want to get your tail handed to you, don't go. Listen, I'm not going to go into a dark alley and try to fight Pete Najeri. And am I? Heck no. That's a losing battle. I don't care how much they're going to pay me.
Well, the players didn't decide what their schedule was going to be. The players didn't decide.
And he still whips me, then okay. No, if you don't like it, do something about it or don't play the game.
All right. Dave, we're going to move on here. Question number two. A week ago, I came on here and I proclaimed very loudly that it is incredibly unlikely that the Minnesota Twins don't make the playoffs. One week on, and it seems pretty likely. Not pretty likely. I'm not going to say that, but it seems certainly a lot more likely than it did a week ago. They were about five games up a week ago. They're now
only
two and a half games ahead of the Detroit
Tigers.
Who have the second easiest schedule in baseball.
Yes, their schedule is really easy.
And the Twins have a slightly harder schedule, and they were supposed to take care of business here with the Reds. That hasn't been happening. Now, Byron Buxton and Carlos Correa are back in the lineup. That's going to be a help.
Well, it wasn't last night.
And here's the biggest issue, right? If the starters keep giving up 10 runs, that's not going to help much. You're not going to be able to put up 11 runs per game. So, Dave, in the scenario that the Twins miss the playoffs, that they absolutely blow it down the stretch and they miss the playoffs, what should the blowback be? Or should there be firing? Should it be front office? Should there be coaches, fan protest? What is the scenario if they really do blow this thing?
Well, this was our last segment, but let's go there now because we can expand upon it then. It's bad. And I'm going to tell you right now that after what happened this week, when Rocco goes to the media and says how bad his team is and about how, you know, that's unprofessional play and all that stuff, that to me is a really dangerous area to go if you're a manager or coach or whatever it is, because you can't play that card more than once. And if you've seen coaches who've lost their mind, you know, they bang stuff against the wall, throw stuff, whatever, like that. That can only happen a couple of times. And if your team doesn't respond to that, then you're in trouble. And guess what? Rocco goes to the media, calls everyone unprofessional, and did his team respond? No, they got killed by Cincinnati last night, 10-1. And now they're 2.5 games out, and Detroit is gaining on them, and they have an easy schedule, like you said. To me, when Rocco got upset about that, and I'm not saying Rocco's not a bad manager. I'm not saying any of that stuff. This is a tactic. This is a strategy that a manager or coach takes. When you do that and you dog your team in the media and they don't respond, you have just put your head into the guillotine. And that's exactly what he did. And now is it going to come down? Who knows? We don't know yet. But if they miss the playoffs, and in this last month of the season, he pulled a pitcher at seven innings and ended up losing the game, and he lost his mind on his team, went unprofessional, and they didn't respond. As an owner and as a general manager, you're saying, Rocco may be great, but right now, his tactics aren't working. The locker room's not responding to this, and that's a big issue. So, yes, if they miss the playoffs, I absolutely think Rocco's seat is very hot, and I could see a scenario where he gets let go. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying it's 100%. But if they miss the playoffs after being where they were, that to me says, okay, these guys are not listening to him, and we can't get rid of the whole clubhouse. So someone else has to go.
Well, so you're really focusing in then, obviously, on the manager position. Now, another interesting part here is the contracts of Thad Levine and Derek Falvey are up after this season. They don't have a contract right
now. That's a good point. It's a good point.
I mean, it's not out of the question that there's a full reset from the Twins front office to the managerial staff. I don't know if that should happen, but I think it's certainly a possibility at this point.
I think it should happen. And I'm going to just go out there right now. And the only reason I say that is we have been this team for the last couple of years where we're playing 500 baseball, which is fine, I guess, right? I mean, you win half, you lose half, and you're kind of moving along. We always have the excitement of a little bit of a streak, and then we lose that streak. We haven't even had many streaks this year. But the reality is, how often of the 500 on the win side, how often have we beat teams that are actually good teams, that are better than us? And that's been the problem. And I would say that has a lot to do with personnel. And do we have the right folks on our team? Probably not. So because of that, I think there are some heads that are going to have to roll unless you're just satisfied with what we are doing. And if you are, that's one thing. But I don't think you are, Charlie, or anybody who's a huge Twins fan is not always very happy with what they see out on the field and us beating bad teams but not able to beat the good teams in series. That's something that's been going on now for the last couple of years.
Well, Pete, if they miss the playoffs, certainly those discussions need to happen. Now, of course, though, the question turns to who's actually at blame here, and is the front office completely hamstrung with money? You just aren't able to add. What do they do? So is it really the front office's fault if they're not able to put those players on the field? Maybe not. I don't know one way or another. It's a hard thing to analyze exactly who is at fault here. I know ownership got a lot of flack this year for coming out and saying, hey, we're not spending money. I don't care about last year. We're not gonna really be adding any big names to this team because we don't want to spend the money. We're going to move on here. We're getting late, so we'll move on to the next question. Pete. Yeah. Again, back to college football. I know you're such a college football guy, so we've talked about some top teams. Pete, how about some of the big disappointments? Florida State losing yet again to Memphis, going 0-3 on the year so far. Florida also going 1-2 now after losing another game yesterday. Kansas looking very, very beatable. They lost to Illinois, and then yesterday they lost to UNLV. And how about Purdue getting absolutely blown away in South Bend, 66-7? I forgot this one, though. Did you see Mississippi State, Pete? You see who they played? They played Toledo. Mississippi State played Toledo. They lost 41-17.
Yowza.
Mississippi State lost to Toledo 41-17. I think that Toledo coach may be having some new opportunities next year to move up in the college football landscape. But having said all those names, Pete, doesn't have to be on that list, but do you think anybody's on the hot seat right now in college football?
Oh, I would think Florida State is absolutely. It's getting really, really hot. You know, it's one thing, and this goes all the way back to last year, guys, when a lot of us were arguing back and forth about this, including Florida State and any fan of Florida State, about why weren't they in the playoff? And it's they lost their quarterback. The quarterback was the guy who really did a lot. And unfortunately, you're starting to see a little bit more. This is not only that they're 0-3 to start off the season, but they lost that last game that they played at the end of the season as well in the bowl game. So It's something that's, I think that they're going to have to make some changes. I don't know exactly how they want to handle that, but I'm still impressed on the impressed side as opposed to the depressing side. I look at Indiana and say, wow, this quarterback or coach rather from James Madison is doing a really, really nice job. He's got a really nice quarterback in Rourke. They're 3-0. They beat up on UCLA yesterday. Illinois 3-0. They got to go to Nebraska, but they look pretty good. Bielema seems to be one of these guys who just manages to find talent when others can't. And then I look at Nebraska. Wow. That's a nice turnaround as well. And they got Illinois, Nebraska next week. That's going to be a really fun game. The Big Ten this year is really going to get shaken up because we've got teams like USC who look really great, UCLA who looks awful. We don't know what to think about Maryland and Rutgers. We all have opinions on those, but the Big Ten's going to be fun just to watch how this whole thing peels back. And is Michigan going to be able to win like they always have in the past? I'm going to say no right now. I'm going to say Michigan actually slides out of the top 20 in the next couple of weeks. And I don't know where they finish the season. They'll still have a winning record, but they don't look good at all.
Yeah, Washington also losing the Apple Cup this last week to Washington State. Yep. Not looking great there, but that's a pretty big rebuild after losing Kalen DeBoer to Alabama. So not exactly shocking to see them struggling. Dave, we're going to finish this off really quick here.
Wait, do I have an...
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I have one coach. Kirk Ferentz.
Oh, come
Iowa.
On.
I'm going to go there.
Come on.
Yep.
Going there,
I'm
going
to go there. I have a friend who's a huge Iowa fan, was ready to get rid of him after they lost to Iowa State. Anyway, right. Go ahead.
It might be. We'll see if they lose to Minnesota this week. Who knows? Vikings 49ers kicking off in just over an hour here. Both teams going to be without some key pieces. As we've said, McCaffrey on the IR for San Francisco, Jordan Addison out for Minnesota. Dave, I wrote this for Pete, but I'm going to say Dave, for the Vikings to come out of this game with, let's face it, a surprise victory, who needs to step up? Who's the guy?
Well, I mean, you're going to have to that's a great question. I think
Aaron
Sam
Jones.
I was going to say Aaron Jones. I think the easy one is Sam Darnold has to have another good game. But I think Aaron Jones, what, he had 94 yards last week and rushed really well. So I think he's going to have to play well. I think that the defense, the secondary, is going to be taxed a little more this week, having to deal with Brandon Ayuk, having to deal with George Kittle, etc. So it's hard. It's both sides of the ball for me, but I think if it's an immediate impact to me, this is going to be tougher on the secondary than it was last week. I mean, it just is. Daniel Jones and the wide receivers, other than Malik Nabers, are going to be very different than what Brock Purdy has. So I think this is going to be a bigger test for the secondary this week.
All right, guys, that's all we got.
All right, we'll take a quick break. A reminder, once again, we're out early today because the Twins take over after us. So we'll take a quick break and wrap up the show in a minute. You're listening to Huddle on 830 WCCO.
All right. I love it.
Week 2 of the NFL. Let's run around the NFC North really quick. Tampa Bay, the Bucks, and Josh Wheeler's beloved Baker Mayfield and the Lions. What do you got today? Baker Mayfield for the Bucks, of course, against the Lions at Detroit. Who wins this one?
Baker Mayfield throws for another 3 touchdowns. They win the game.
I got Lions.
Really?
Give me the Lions bouncing back.
I got the Lions, too.
All right. That's
easy
a good team.
One. Maybe not an easy one here anymore. 0-1 Colts at the 0-1 Packers.
Who's quarterbacking for Green Bay? I'm going to go with the Colts.
I am too. Colts it is.
I would too. I like Colts also. All right, guys. San Francisco and the Vikings at US Bank Stadium. What do you got?
Niners by 14.
Niners.
What?
Niners by 7.
Vikings by a touchdown. 300 yards.
Our defense
for,
isn't
Sam
that
Darnold
good
today.
I think the defense is pretty good. I like the defense. I'm more worried about the offense.
I don't like the
Bears
defense.
Texans. I'll take the Texans as well. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next week.
See ya. All right. I love it.
Week 2 of the NFL. Let's run around the NFC North really quick. Tampa Bay, the Bucks, and Josh Wheeler's beloved Baker Mayfield and the Lions. What do you got today? Baker Mayfield for the Bucks, of course, against the Lions at Detroit. Who wins this one?
Baker Mayfield throws for another 3 touchdowns. They win the game.
I got Lions.
Really?
Give me the Lions bouncing back.
I got
back.
The Lions, too.
All right. That's a
easy
good team.
One. Maybe not an easy one here anymore. 0-1 Colts at the 0-1 Packers.
Who's quarterbacking for Green Bay? I'm going to go with the Colts.
I am too. Colts it is.
I would too. I like Colts also. All right, guys. San Francisco and the Vikings at US Bank Stadium. What do you got?
Niners by 14.
Niners.
What?
Niners by 7.
Vikings by a touchdown, 300 yards.
Our defense
for,
isn't
Sam
that
Darnold
good
today.
I think the defense is pretty good. I like the defense. I'm more worried about the offense.
I don't like the
Bears,
defense.
Texans. I'll take the Texans as well. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.